I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen on, you motherfucker.
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hello, hello. We're from a place called Knuckle Drag. Hi, this is Bart. This is show 72, Bart Cop Radio, often seen on BartCop.com, often heard on the Bart Cop Radio networks, and boy, we got one of those shows for you today. And I gotta tell you, I don't know if I'm getting old or if I'm getting more stupid, but these are getting harder and harder to do. I know this sounds like there's 5 minutes worth of preparation went into the show, but trust me, there's at least 20 hours, and it's driving me crazy. I don't understand how I'm losing ground making these shows. You'd think as time goes by, they'd be getting easier to do. But somehow, you know, there's a lot of times in life when you run into a problem, more drugs, more alcohol will fix the problem. I know that's not true for everybody in every case, but sometimes, you know, if you ever stuck at a crossroads and you're not sure what to do, sometimes more drugs, more alcohol is just exactly the answer. I probably should have come to this conclusion before I started working on the show. I probably could have got it done a lot faster. But anyway, show 72, oh, it's got laughs, it's got heartache, it's got music, it's got impressions, it's got funny stories, it's got meaningful stories. Yeah, yeah, it really is heavy on the meaningful stories. Going to start off with a shot of Chinaco. It tastes so much better than letting it run down your chin. Oh, that's some good stuff. No need to drag it out. Let's get right to it. It's like a Band-Aid. Best way to get it off is to just yank it.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Tell me why I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why
I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why
I don't like Mondays. I want to shoot. Down.
Okay, got a stack of stuff. Let's go through, see if it makes any sense. Here's a bunch of stuff from Monday's paper. Tim, ready? Actor Tom Sizemore was sentenced Thursday to 17 months in jail and ordered to a drug treatment facility for repeatedly failing drug tests while on probation. Sizemore, 43, also was sentenced later to additional drug treatment on a separate felony drug case. However, he is being allowed to remain free while he appeals a domestic violence conviction involving his ex-girlfriend Heidi Fleiss. The actor best known for Black Hawk Down and Saving Private Ryan sobbed as he pleaded with the judge, I assure you, Your Honor, I am not acting. I am beseeching you. I can't imagine my future without performing. Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. Three strikes, dude. Here's a guy, it's harder to feel sorry for the multimillionaires who have problems like this, because if you've got that much money, you can hire, Belushi did this, and it didn't work, but you can hire a black belt to be with you in the room at all times. And the black belt will physically stop a dealer from giving you drugs, and he'll physically stop you from putting drugs in your body while you're paying him. You give him, what, $3,000 a week is pretty good. Maybe rotate two guys week on, week off, and you give them $3,000 a week. Maybe that's not big money in Hollywood. It's huge money in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But you pay somebody to keep the drugs out of your system. This idiot has got three convictions. Repeatedly failing drug tests. A, you do a bunch of drugs. B, you do a bunch of drugs, and then you commit a bunch of crimes. C, you do a bunch of drugs, you commit a bunch of crimes, and then you get caught. And then D, you do a bunch of drugs, you commit a bunch of crimes, you get caught, and then while you're on probation, you get caught again and again and again. And then they have to postpone that because you've got your other sentencing to go to, and then you still later got to answer for the beating up Heidi Fleiss crimes you committed while you were high on drugs. I mean, dude, you need some jail time. Of course, they say you can get drugs in jail, so maybe jail isn't going to straighten them out. But isn't it a little hard to feel sorry? And I do, just as a human being, I feel sorry for a bastard who is so trapped that he would rather do another line of coke or whatever drugs he's doing than collect a $1 million paycheck for kissing Gina Gershon. It just seems stupid that he'd rather do another line of coke than get $1 million for a love scene, but you know, it's real easy after you're caught the third or fourth or fifth time to say, I don't know where my head was. Well, dude, after the 10th time, you're going to tell me these last six you didn't know where your head was either. So, yeah, there was fewer drugs in jail. Jail might be a good place for Tom Sizemore. Virginia Commonwealth University has heightened campus security after a female professor led a mixed-gender prayer service that was criticized by some Muslim clerics, a school spokesman said. Islamic studies professor Amina Wadud led 80 to 100 men and women in Muslim prayer March 18th. Some Muslim clerics denounced her actions, saying Islam lets women lead other women in prayer, but not alongside men. No specific threats have been made, but security is heightened. The school has also increased security in its design college in Qatar. Wadud has argued for the reform of Sharia or Islamic religious law and is outspoken scholar of the role of women in Islam. And doesn't it figure here we got another religion that says you have to either hurt or murder somebody if they're praying with somebody with a different set of genitals? Now that's a good, A, praying is stupid. B, if you're going to get shot or hung or beat up for it, why would you want to do that? More religious insanity everywhere you look. You get in a room with 100 religious doors, and 90 of them are going to have danger if you dare to open the son of a bitch. What about religious insanity can't people get through their head? You can either just sit on the ground and wish good things about the alleged creator and the keeper of the seasons and the man who makes the acorn turn into an oak tree, you know, or you can get all specific with a bunch of rules and a bunch of guns and knives and then murder people who think your rules are stupid. Oh boy, I tell you, is there anything nuttier than religion? You know, we haven't done a lot on the Schiavo business because there's really not a lot to say. And it seems like every hand job in the country has found a ticket to Florida to go down there and just pour more gasoline on this fire that doesn't need any gasoline at all. You know, it's too bad this is so tragic because it would be kind of nice to enjoy the idiots stepping in the big muck the way they've done. The Bush brothers just decided that they, you know, everybody was fine. And the idiot Bush brothers just decided they're going to make a giant thing out of this. Them and DeLay got together and they decided, let's create a giant thing here. Let's build a 100-foot-tall bonfire. And then when it collapses, we're going to blame the Democrats. Well, you know, it didn't work this time because the Democrats didn't have the balls to get involved. The Democrats were too stupid to figure out an angle on this. So they just stood there with a finger in their mouth while the other guys did all the action. And then it collapsed on themselves. And now the Republicans are fighting the Republicans. And it's kind of fun to watch, like I say, if you don't count the misery the family's going through. There's a lady whose father is in the same hospice as Terry Schiavo, and she can't go see her dad because she's got to run through the gauntlet. I think maybe her dad died and she didn't get to say goodbye to him because you had to go through 200 protesters and all the police lines and the search dogs and the vans and the whole circus she had to go through to get there, and she either couldn't or didn't want to do that. So she ended up not seeing her father. But that's just, you know, no one cares. The whole point is to force our religion on you. That's what this whole bullshit is about. But let me tell you about one thing. Some of the idiocy that's coming out of here. Big headline, anger at Bushes as time grows short for Schiavo. Here's this lady, Sharon Mole, who drove to Pinellas Park from St. Augustine, said she had written 3 letters to the governor in the past few days. It seems like he could have intervened more, she said. At this point, it's getting too late to help this woman. She's being tortured. She's being murdered. So this lady is being tortured and murdered by who? The Bush brothers. The Democrats didn't do this. They weren't anywhere near this. This is all Bush. This is Governor Bush was in charge of the Florida end. Tom DeLay and Monkey Bush were in charge of the federal end of this. And it's all a giant hand job, and they fucked up. They decided they'd run into it and get involved, and it turns out they shouldn't have. And now their sorry asses are paying for it. It says, among the messages on protest signs Sunday, Barbara Bush, are you proud of your sons now? That's what we need more of. These Republicans are giving the Bush family all they can handle. The Bush family doesn't know how to fight against people who fight back. They are powerless. They are clueless. They don't know what to do. Every fight the Bushes have gotten in since maybe 1998 has been with a bunch of weak-kneed, lily-livered, yellow-streaked, pink-tutu, gelding Democrats who are too goddamn scared of their own shadow to breathe. All they can do is wet themselves and get under the table like Bernard Shaw in Iraq. That's all they can do. Run and hide. Please don't hurt me. That's the Democrats. That's what Bush is used to fighting. Now all of a sudden he's fighting some Republicans, and look here, the Republicans fight back. When you slap a Republican, he fights back. That guy wrote the other day, Bart, you're so far to the left, you can't even see this, whatever he said, and I'm thinking, hey, one of the hallmarks of being a leftist is not fighting back. Do I look like a leftist? I don't think so. Here's some more quotes that were on the signs in Florida. Stop the American Holocaust. That would make the Bush brothers and Tom DeLay Nazi bastards for creating the Holocaust, the American Holocaust. It's all on them. Another one, send in the National Guard. You know, I like the point, and I've seen a whole lot of this. You know, I don't know how many hours, 20 or 30, you know, how you watch, and then you just get sick of it because they just repeat. They give you like 20 minutes of news, and then on the 21st minute, they just start repeating. So if you watch for an hour, you just get the same news three times. So, you know, all you can do is watch, and then when they start repeating, you just switch the channel. But it's the same crap over and over, and it's funny how it's always the pro-tube people who are not able to answer the question. When you say, why are you wanting to help her, but you don't want to help a newborn? It's like, well, there's lots of problems in the world. Well, no, hey, asshole, come back and answer my question. You know, I heard one guy say, Mr. Republican, do you think it's a shame the way the Bushes have exploited this? And he says, I always think it's a shame when anyone exploits. No, 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 come back. I asked you if it was a shame about what Bush is doing right here, right now. Well, in 1911, no, asshole, this right now. I asked you a question. They can't answer. Whenever somebody is unable to answer a question, that means they are lying. They are guilty. And to answer, it all gets back to the Bart Cop quiz. When I give you the Bart Cop quiz, you cannot answer the question, because if you do answer the question, you're going to agree with me. So all you can do is refuse to answer. I smacked so many people around, including Nixon's lawyer, G. Gordon Liddy. All he could do was dance like a little pink tutu whore for me because he couldn't answer the simple damn questions. If you can't answer the question, you need to shut down, shut the fuck up, and let somebody who can't answer the question lead the way. That's pretty simple. Headline, Senator says GOP can disallow filibusters. Republicans would have the votes needed to disallow filibusters of judicial nominees if it came to a vote, the Assistant Majority Leader said. That would be Mitch McConnell, asshole, Kentucky. I'm confident that we would have 51 votes if the Majority Leader decides to do it, he said. Democrats have blocked votes on 10 of Bush's judicial nominees by threatening to filibuster 60 votes and 100 members Senator needed to overcome a filibuster to move to a final vote in which only a simple majority is needed. Harry Reid of Nevada has said that if Democrats couldn't filibuster nominees, they would retaliate by slowing down or stopping Senate business through procedural maneuvers, which you know is a bluff because the Democrats won't do it. They're saying they will, and the Republicans know they're going to cave, and it's all a big charade. It's a big giant hand job, and it's on me, and I don't want anybody but Mrs. Bart give me a hand job. At least that's mostly true. McConnell said he doubted Democrats would follow through on the threat. Well, yeah, obviously. I don't think they'll shut down the Senate. We have important work to do shutting down the Senate in a peak, P-I-Q-U-E, because the majority was simply trying to return the Senate to the way it had operated for 200 years is not a good position. McConnell lied. Now, I don't know how far this goes back, but, you know, filibuster has been part of the language ever since I've been reading newspapers since about 1963. And McConnell's trying to act like the Democrats wanted to raise the bar in the filibuster the day Bush got in. No, that didn't happen, asshole. You're just lying. You're like all the rest. You can't tell the truth, so you have to lie. The only way you can make half a point is if you leave out the pertinent facts. You lying bastard. Headline in a paper, Walmart to workers, report all ethical lapses. Yeah. And as soon as you do that, you're going to be fired. I heard this in the car the other day, so I couldn't document it or write it down, but Walmart recently settled a suit with the government. Seems like it was for a whopping $15 million or something, which is the money they make between the time they open their doors and when they say, welcome. They make $15 million between the opening of the doors and the first guy that walks in, sure. And they make that every minute of every day. So they settled this big lawsuit with the government for $15 million, I think. That's the number I remember. Could be any number, but it sounds right. What crimes, what outrages, what abuses were they settling? These sons of bitches, they would hire undocumented workers, and they would lock them in the store all night and tell them this place better be clean when we get back in the morning. So these people were locked in there. They got minimum wage or less. Most cases it was less. They got no medical care of any kind. They got no benefits of any kind. Walmart even refused to acknowledge that they worked there. They had all these secret, just like the mob, they had these secret payrolls and secret, you know, they didn't, maybe they were paying these people cash, I don't know. But for a company like Walmart, with a billion employees and 20 million stores, to have them abusing the people in the United States or wherever who are the very, very weakest, the people who are least able to prevent their being, themselves being exploited, and have the world's biggest retailer take advantage of the tiniest, poorest people, and they got a $15 million fine for that. What an outrage. And Walmart has, the, you know, Walmart's got this whole thing, and they've got the balls to put out a memo saying, please report all ethical lapses. Oh, please. That's like the mob saying, if you see anyone committing a crime, be sure and call the police. Yeah, that's going to happen. But you know, something needs to be done about Walmart. They've got this, just like the Republicans, they've got this thing where, you know, friendly old Sam, oh, come on down and talk to friendly old Sam. Well, you know, Sam's dead. And with Sam gone, or maybe they did this while Sam was still there, but Walmart has turned into a predatory bastard giant who goes around destroying anyone that gets in their way. But they've got this, oh, shucks, come on down and meet old Sam kind of bullshit facade that aging super whores like Paul Harvey helped to promote. But the truth is, they're the most predatory sons of bitches you're going to find in the business world. You might as well be doing business with the mob rather than doing business with Walmart, because they're going to treat you about the same. And they will maul to death anybody who gets anywhere near, just like the Republicans. They've got so much to lose. So many hundreds of billions are at stake that they will crush anybody who threatens even a half of 1% of that. They would give anything. They'll do anything to protect every penny. And I know it's business's job to do that, but you're not supposed to break the law to make that extra penny. You're not supposed to exploit people who are helpless and defenseless. Walmart, you sons of bitches, you bastards, how dare you do this? Oh, you're the worst of the worst. Army is late with orders for armored Humvees. Now, I'm going to try not to read this whole story, but it seems like every sentence in here is a heartbreaker. In June 2003, the Army realized it didn't have enough Humvees in Iraq to protect soldiers. By Friday, 2 years later, officials expect to correct their problem by having almost 22,000 armored Humvees in Iraq, up from 200 when the war began. So they showed up with 0.1% of the Humvees they needed, and 1,500 men are dead. Now, let's go back to Somalia. I don't care if you're tired of hearing about Somalia. That's the measuring stick. Somalia was the biggest disaster of all time, the biggest presidential blunder in history, because 17 men died, because Les Aspin didn't think he could get a whole shitload of armored personnel carriers on boats and halfway around the world in time for this mission to take place. George Bush, head of the CIA and president, decided after he lost the election, now that counts because while he was still in office, he didn't want to help the people of Somalia. Once he was fired by the American voters, then he decided, well, let's give the new incoming president a giant millstone around his neck. Let him deal with Al-Qaeda down there in Somalia. So he sent all these soldiers into harm's way without the armored personnel carriers they needed, because he knew that the Al-Qaeda monsters were running around Somalia. He knew that. What the hell is it good is it to have a president that's a former CIA head if you don't have any clue about overseas intelligence? Why do we have a CIA if you're going to be that clueless in a place where you're going to send our troops in a place and you're that clueless? I don't think so. He just failed to do it, and so that made Clinton the biggest bungler in the history of the world, because Les Aspin couldn't get those over there. Meanwhile, Bush, who had to suddenly invade, had to go right now, over to Iraq with 0.1% of the armored Humvees he needed, and that's okay. We forgive him, because it's only 1,550 dead men. Let's not talk about them. Can't we remember the 17... The 17 that had families and wives and children, they're the important ones, not the 1,500, you dumbass. Why did it take the government almost 2 years to remedy a deficiency that the Army acknowledges was costing soldiers' lives? An examination of Army records, correspondence with members of Congress, and Pentagon documents show the military repeatedly underestimated the need for more armored Humvees. No, I don't think it was the military. I think the military have a tendency to overspend, to overprotect, to overbuy. I think the neocons, your Wolfowitzes and your Rummies and those, you know, Pearl and all these little maggots behind the scenes at Barney Fife Guy, they're the ones that said, no, this is a little operation. We don't need a big force to go in there. We're going to kick Saddam's ass and we're going to be gone by Friday. Again, one constant bungle after the next, and they're not held accountable, because we need to talk some more about Clinton and the Somalia 17. Even after recognizing its miscalculations, the Army was slow to order more armored Humvees and then transported them to Iraq from its existing worldwide supply in fits and starts. In other words, I know we got 9 in Iceland. Ooh, we got 7 in Manila. Yeah, let's send them over there. Meanwhile, a year ago, I heard a thing on the radio. Some lady told me, she called in from like the Ford auto plant and said, you know, we make 400 cars a week here at Ford. Why can't they make 400 Humvees a week at General Motors? And granted, if they got to put the extra armor on there, maybe it takes an extra 3 days or something. The assembly line can kick out 400 a week, and they just said, no, we don't need that many. All we need is the original 200. And we got men dying by the bucket load. Officials also failed to take full advantage of a defense contracting firm that says it could have increased production. So see, these guys are offering to send more Humvees per week to Iraq, and the Army kept saying, no, we don't need them, it's okay, keep them, take your time, go slow. And more men died, and then more men died, and more men died, and there's not a price to pay. Bush is still thought highly of. These crazies in the military, they love Bush for dragging his feet and killing their men. The Defense Department had assured that armored Humvees would not be needed once the invasion of Iraq was over. Original plans called for the Pentagon to pull back most tanks and other armored vehicles to reduce the U.S. military as soon as Baghdad fell, because strategists had projected that Iraq would quickly become peaceful, but violent attacks by insurgents never anticipated by the Pentagon meant that troops traveling in unarmored vehicles faced grave risk. Now, how do you win Super Bowls with defense? Who in the hell runs an army on a best-case scenario? Oh, gee, I'll bet it might work this way, so let's plan for that. I'll bet we can climb Mount Everest in one day, so let's bring just one day's worth of food. That's all we need. No sense in bringing 2 days. What are you, stupid? You want to carry extra food for no reason? How in the hell can the military planners be that stupid? Or did they do it smart and Bush just fuck everything up? At least 275 troops were killed in Humvees in 2003 and 2004. One of every four American troops killed by hostile action died because the Humvees weren't armored. And think, besides the 275 deaths, think of all the legs and arms and eyes that are missing now, because they just didn't bother to order more of the SUVs. That is just crazy. And of course, that's okay. It's Bush. He knows what he's doing. This is a war that never had to be fought, that he lied to get us into. Something else, Al Franken, I had this on his show yesterday, and I was real pissed at the way he handled it. He handled it as a joke. The Senate, the CIA, somebody put together a report on how bad Bush bungled all this. And the report was ready before the election. And they made a big thing out of, well, it wouldn't be fair to release this report right before the election. We want to release it after the election because it's going to be a real controversial thing. And let's get the presidential election over with. And then we'll address the report. And of course, the Democrats said, that's fine with us. Sure, buddy. Whatever you need. And then now that it's after the election, they're saying, well, what about that report? And they're saying, well, what would be the point? And what pissed me off about Al Franken, he said, I'm going to stay on this like a bear. And then he starts making bear noises. It's like, hey, fuck you, Al. I mean, well, I don't mean fuck you, Al, but how many thousands of dead men are we going to need before someone takes this seriously? We don't need Al Franken growling like a bear. Grr, grr, grr. He's doing all these growling bear noises to assure his audience that he's going to stay on the story. Well, gee, Al, what about a little outrage? Why don't you get pissed off and yell into the microphone and ask a million readers to call their congressman or to call the White House and demand a little action? Where the hell's the report? Remember how important it was that we got Juanita Broderick's report? Remember? They stopped Washington cold fucking dead for 10 days or something. Every son of a bitch on Fox News was wearing a sign that said, Free Lisa Myers, because Lisa Myers talked to this lady, Juanita Broderick, and they said NBC was blocking the report, and we all had a right to know what this lady with a claim said about the best president we ever had. We had a right to know. But as far as why 1,550 Marines are dead, we don't have, that's none of our goddamn business. If it's inside Clinton's zipper, it's our business. If it's a whole fuckload of dead people, we need to shut up and mind our own business because it only helps Al-Qaeda. What kind of stupid fucking world do we live in? And why are we taking it? We just stand for it. We just let it happen. When this shit happens, we say, oh, that's okay. That's all right. We don't care. We don't mind. I'm not saying there's a lot me and you can do, but these sons of bitches that are taking money every week as Democratic elected senators and congressmen, why are they doing nothing? How dare they ask for our votes? How dare they ask for a penny of our money? And Howard Dean, you need to do something about this. You know, we got a little conflict here. I like Howard Dean. I like what he might be able to do for the party. But if he's just going to lead a party of quitters and losers, what good is Howard Dean if all he's going to do, you know, if you're the best coach in the world and you've got a whole team full of third grade girls, you're not going to beat the Yankees in the World Series. It's not going to happen. He's going to have some fighters on his team before we have a chance. Are you going to be able to do that for us, Dr. Dean? Or are you going to stand there and talk a good game and let a couple of hundred Democrats stand behind you and say, whatever Bush wants is okay with us. We don't need to pry into Bush's bungling and his thefts and his lies that kill 1,500 men and 100,000 Iraqis. We don't need to bother with that. We need to look at Clinton's zipper a little more. You know, we're still in Clinton's zipper. Are we ever going to get out?
How does it feel?
Bart Cobb. He's better than a sharp stick in the ear.
When you lay your hands upon me and